You're listening to the More Abundant Life radio broadcast, a program that features inspiring messages and presentations by Dr. Wintley Phipps. My name is Sandra Enterman, and I'm your guest host. I'm sitting in for your regular host, Adrian Westney Jr. We're going to carry on with our series entitled When God Says, and today we present to you the final message, When God Says Yes. However, we're only going to bring you part one of that. You'll have to stay tuned for its conclusion. Before we go to the message, sit back and enjoy this inspiring piece of music by Wintley Phipps. I give you my life.
What you've given me, more than I could think of. What you've given me, more than I could dream of. Lord, you've given me more than my full share. Lord, you've given me your all. Lord, you've given me more than I could think of. Lord, you've given me more than I could dream of. Lord,
listening to The More Abundant Life, and I'm Sandra Enterman, your guest host. We just heard Wintley Phipps singing I Give You My Life from the CD by the same title. Well, let's get straight to the message now. When God Says Yes, Part 1. Here's Pastor Phipps.
This is the last of my series of messages. The first one was when God said no. when God is silent, amen. Last Sabbath was when God says, wait. And this Sabbath, the message is when God says, yes. There are in the English language certain words that evoke powerful emotional responses. Someone tried to put together a list of those words, and here they are. The first is a three-letter word, Y-O-U. You. You know that's a powerful word. When somebody said, I'm doing this for you. Or, you know how the brothers in the street say, it's all about you, it's your world, I'm just living in it. The next word that they had on this list of powerful words is, you guessed it, money. Money. Turns a whole planet of people on, let me tell you. Another word that's a powerful word that evokes an emotional response, well, for a lot of women, it does save. Another is new. That moves us. How about this one? Easy. Another is love. The word love. Discovery. Results, health, proven, guaranteed, powerful words. Probably the one that turns most people on is free. Free. Someone else put together a list of what they said were the most beautiful words in the English language as voted by English language students around the world. And here are the top five most beautiful words in the English language according to those students. The most beautiful word to English students around the world is mother. Mother. Another is passion. Another is smile. I like that word because all you got to do is say it and something happens to the person who hears it. They just turn on. Another is love. I love you. And another is eternity. Eternity. These are all beautiful words. But one word, it seems, beat out all the others as the most favorite word we love to hear. To me, it is one of the most beautiful and powerful words in all of the English language, and that word is yes. Yes. We like that word because it is a breakthrough word. It is a word that settles turmoil and brings resolution where there is unrest. It is a word of agreement, the forerunner of peace and accord. It has to be one of my favorite words in the English language, yes. I love it when you ask somebody, can you get this done by tomorrow? And they say, yes. From children, we learn to love that word. Mother, may I have a popsicle? Yes. Teenagers love that word. Daddy, may I have a cell phone? Yes. Well, maybe. Daddy, can you get me a car? Child, when I was your age, I walked 40 miles to school in a hurricane. Yes. Men, do you remember the day you asked your wife to marry you and she said, yes? I remember when Linda said, yes, I'll never forget it. I was there. And believe me, when the right one says yes, it is a word that will bless your life as long as you live. How about the first time you got a loan to build and buy your house? Ooh, and the bank said, yes. Oh, come on, you'll never forget that first time it happened. I remember the first time it happened, I was so nervous. I was sitting there, almost shaking, and the man is filling out the papers, and I'm just trying to still convince him after he said yes. To the point where he said, listen, Mr. Phipps, that's okay. I said, but I think I know how I can pay for this. He said, Mr. Phipps, we don't care how you pay it, just as long as you pay it. I can never forget after 4 years of marriage, the day I asked Linda if she was really with child, and she said, yes. Throughout the scriptures, there have been many instances where God, in response to the prayers of his people, has said yes. When Moses asked God to see his glory, God said, yes, not my face, but my hand apart. The thief dying on the cross said to Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said, yes, to that thief. I will remember you. You will be with me in paradise. How can we ever forget the times when we needed our tender heavenly Father to say yes to some earnest prayer that we had prayed? How can we ever forget those pivotal times in our lives when God, bounteous in mercy, said yes to a simple, heartfelt prayer? I was 16 years old when I knew God answered my first heartfelt prayer. I said, Lord, I want to travel and sing and use my talents for you. And God said, yes. If that's your will for me, Lord, open the doors. We can never forget those special moments when our gracious, understanding God said yes to our prayers. When because of our failure and our sin, God would have been completely justified saying no. But instead, he said yes. Our God is often so willing to trust again, those who have proven themselves unworthy of his trust. That even though we do not deserve it, he still says yes to so many of our heartfelt petitions. What an awesome God. I'm talking about our manna-feeding God. I'm talking about our grave-opening God. I'm talking about our water-walking God. He is often so willing to say yes, even though we do not deserve it. He still says yes. In 2 Kings 20, our scripture today, the Bible tells in that chapter that the king Hezekiah was stricken with a fatal illness. It was clear that he was going to die. You know, there is a look upon the face of a man who knows he's going to die. It's unlike any other look you'll ever see on a human face. It is a poignant, plaintive, evocative look. When Hezekiah got the word that he was going to die, Hezekiah prayed with all his heart that God would heal him. But all his hopes of healing were shattered one day when the prophet Isaiah came into Hezekiah's house and confirmed Hezekiah's worst fears. Isaiah, it's something when the prophet of God says, the Lord told me to tell you, you're praying for healing, but get your house in order, you're not going to be healed. Get your house in order, you will not be healed. You will not recover from this illness. This affliction from which you suffer, it will take your very life. The Bible says Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed. You know, church, we pray hardest when our backs are against the wall. But in Bible times, they prayed hardest with their faces against the wall. Hezekiah prayed, and you can find it in 2 Kings chapter 20, verse 3. Hezekiah prayed, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And the Bible says Hezekiah wept sore. He prayed, O Lord, remember me. Let me live. Don't let me die. Remember how I've walked before you. And the Bible says the fountain of Hezekiah's tears were broken up and the king wept bitterly. Lord, I've tried to obey you. You know, sometimes in our lives we reach a point when all you can do is cry out before the Lord with bitterness and with tears, with all your sin and all your iniquity. All that's left for you to do is just cry out before the Lord. Like David, you cry out, forsake me not when my strength faileth. Oh God, be not far from me. Believe you me, brothers and sisters, when your life is on the line, you don't pray casual, laid back, careless prayers. You pray like Hezekiah prayed. You pray like David prayed. Oh my God, make haste for my help and forsake me not. The Bible tells us that God heard the prayer of Hezekiah. And as Isaiah was walking out of the palace door, God spoke to Isaiah and said, turn around. Go back to Hezekiah. Tell him I've heard his prayers, I've seen his tears, and I've changed my mind. Tell him my answer to his prayer request is yes. Tell him that I, the Lord, have said I will heal him, and in just 3 days, he will rise up from his sick bed and go up to the temple to worship me. And tell him that as a reward for his faith and faithfulness, I, the Lord, will also add 15 years to his life. Woo! When you're about to die, 15 years more is a lifetime. The Bible then says that Isaiah told these words to the king. Isaiah said, God said, take a lump of figs. A lump of what? Figs, and spread them on the boil. The Bible says, and they took and laid it on the boil, and Hezekiah recovered. And just as God had promised, Hezekiah was healed. And in an unusual step, Hezekiah then asked God to give him a sign that he was really healed. God said to Hezekiah, you want a what? Say, yeah, Lord, I know you said I'm gonna be healed, and I am healed, but I need you to give me a sign that I've been really healed. God said, you want a sign? I'll give you a sign. Which would you prefer? You want the shadow from the sun to go forward? You want the sun to go forward 10 degrees? I'm going to move the sun. You want a sign? I can move it forward, or I can move it backwards. Hezekiah says to himself, and you can find it in 2 Kings 10, verse 10. Hezekiah said, he's thinking, he said, now God said he going to move the sun forward or backward. And now in my mind, it's an easy thing to move the sun forward. So I'm going to make it hard on God. I'm going to make it hard for God. Hezekiah said, since it's an easy thing for the sun to go forward, How about if you make it go backwards? Because I'm sure it's harder to turn back the hands of time than it is to hasten or run out of time. Hezekiah must have thought to himself, it's harder to visit the past than it is to visit the future. So let me make it hard for the Lord. You know, even children know that when you pray, miracles happen. I said, even children know that when you pray, miracles happen. One of my favorite stories is one day in church in a Midwestern city, a young child was acting up during church. The parents did their best to kind of keep him quiet, maintain some sense of order, but it was clear they were losing the battle. And finally, during the prayer, the father picked up that little boy and began walking sternly up the aisle on his way to the lobby. And just before reaching the lobby, the little boy shouted out for all the congregation to hear, "Pray for me! Pray for me!" Even children know that when you pray, miracles happen. The Bible says Isaiah prayed, and the sun and its shadow went backwards. Woo! Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Well, many miles away, among the wise men of the Medes and Persians, there lived those who had given themselves over to the study of astronomy. And just like the wise men who saw the star in the east and followed it to the place where Jesus was born, these wise men in the Medes and Persians, these astrologers, noticed that the shadow on their own sundial all the way, are you with me today? All the way over there in the Medes and Persians, they noticed the shadow on the sundial going backwards. Can you imagine that moment? When these wise men and astrologers just studying, and all of a sudden, whoa, what's going on here? And the shadow is going backwards when it's supposed to be going forwards. They marveled. And look at, if you got your Bible, 2 Kings chapter 20, verse 12. Their king, and that's why it's so good to read the Bible, because if you're phonetically challenged, it helps you. So I want all of you to pronounce that king's name for me. 2 Kings 20, verse 12. What is the king's name? Oh, you speaking in tongues. You speaking in tongues. The king's name is Berodach Baladan. Berodach Baladan. When he heard that this miracle of healing had been given by the true God to Hezekiah as a sign of answered prayer, as a sign of God's faithfulness to the king of Judah, this king, Berodach Baladan, sent ambassadors to Hezekiah to congratulate him on his recovery and to learn more of this God who is able to move the sun. The messengers came eager to learn more about this God by whose favor Hezekiah was healed. And brothers and sisters, you know, when God says yes, when God says yes, it is a great opportunity to witness. When God says yes, it is an opportunity to testify of his goodness. One day, a lady by the name of Louise Redden, a poorly dressed, poor lady with a look of defeat on her face, walked into a grocery store. She approached the owner of the store in a very humble way and asked him if he would let her charge a few groceries. She softly explained that her husband was very ill and unable to work. They had 7 children, and they needed food, and the grocer by the name of John Longhouse began to scoff and mock at her and requested that she leave his store. And visualizing her family and her mind and their needs, she said, "Please, sir, I will bring you the money just as soon as I can." John, the grocer, told her he could not give her credit, and as she did not have a charge account at his store, she had to leave. Standing beside the counter was a customer who overheard the conversation between the two, and the customer walked forward and told the grocer that he would stand good for whatever she needed for her family. But the grocer didn't like that, and the grocer said in a very reluctant voice, "I tell you what, Do you have a grocery list? She said, yes, sir. He said, okay, put your grocery list on the scales, and whatever your grocery list weighs, I will give you that amount of groceries. The woman hesitated a moment. She bowed her head, reached into a purse, took out a piece of paper, scribbled something on it, and then she laid the piece of paper on the scale and carefully bowed her head, and the eyes of the grocer and the customer opened up with amazement, and the scale went down and stayed down. The grocer, staring at the scale, turned to the customer and said, I can't believe it. The customer smiled, and the grocer man started putting groceries on the other side of the scale. The scale wouldn't move. It didn't balance out. And he continued to put more and more groceries until the scale could hold no more. The grocer stood there in disgust. He grabbed the piece of paper from the scale and looked at it with great amazement. It was not a grocery list. It was a prayer. It said, Dear Lord, you know my needs, and I'm leaving this in your hands. The grocer gave her all the groceries that he placed on the scale, and he looked at her. She thanked him, left the store. The customer handed a $50 bill to the grocer. He said, Boy, this was worth it. Just to see this. It was sometime later that the grocer discovered that when he challenged that poor lady with his words, the scale broke. When God says yes, it is an opportunity to witness. It is an opportunity to testify.
Don't feel as though that's the end of the message. There is more to come, but you'll have to stay tuned for the conclusion of that message. If you'd like to own an audio copy, you can call the Seabrook Church on 301-577-6342. That's 301-577-6342. Tell them you'd like program number 350. Or if it's more convenient, you can email them seabrookav@yahoo.com. That's seabrookav@yahoo.com. And again, program number 350. Well, this is Sandra Enterman. I'm sitting in for Adrian Wesney Jr., and it's been a pleasure to be with you. I hope you enjoyed this message today, and please do join us again next time. We leave you with the words of Jesus, written in the Bible, in John chapter 10, verse 10. I came that you might have life, and that that life might be the more abundant life.
What's in your heart?